It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. How are missing Black women and children handled by authorities and portrayed in the media as over 600,000 people go missing each year? We learn how media reports are far more likely to seize on the disappearance of a white woman than that of a woman of color. Join in on the deep-rooted biases. What can be done in our daily lives? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ashley Luthern is an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ashley, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
Good morning. Natalie Wilson here as well, co-founder of the Black and Missing Foundation, a nonprofit with a mission to help bring awareness to missing people of color around the nation. Natalie, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. You know, Natalie, we've been aware of missing white woman syndrome in the media for years now. You've been sounding the alarm. Can you explain the problem, how media coverage fails to report on missing people of color?
Okay. Well, you know, when we started the organization in 2008, quite frankly, we were surprised how lopsided the numbers really were as they pertain to missing people of color. 30% of all persons missing when we started were people of color. That number has now grown to 40%. And we all know the names of people like Chandra Levy, most recently Gabby Petito, and the list goes on. But if I ask any of your audience or your listeners to name a person of color that has gotten that same level of national media coverage, they can't. So what we have realized is that many times when a Black person or person of color is reported missing, they're classified as a runaway. First of all, if they're a child, therefore they do not receive the Amber Alert or any type of media coverage at all. And the perception is that they're involved with some type of criminal activity or deviant behavior. So they're getting what they deserve. And what we're trying to do is to change the narrative that these are our missing mothers and fathers, sisters, brothers, valuable members of our community.
How dangerous is the runaway label?
It's very dangerous because people don't tend to act, because the perception is this child left home voluntarily. So think about it. If you see two flyers, one says missing or one says runaway, which one would prompt you to act?
Missing.
Right? The
mm-hmm.
one that says missing. Mm-hmm. So again, we need to really take a look at the systems and the policies that are in place. Why are you labeling these children as runaways when the parents are telling you something different?
Ashley, you know, when you look at the statistic about 600,000 Americans going missing each year, of the adults and children who disappear and remain missing in Milwaukee, why are Black people less likely to be found?
I think that's a really good question that Natalie's organization does a wonderful job of highlighting cases, including cases in Milwaukee that involve long-term missings. And I did want to, I certainly agree with Natalie on the danger of the runaway label. I think that's something that my colleagues and I have been investigating and reporting on. And I do want listeners to know that the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children more than a decade ago took away the runaway label, thanks to advocacy from people like Natalie, who were talking about how misinformed and how dangerous it can be to label children in that way, because runaway doesn't mean someone's not in danger. And so I just wanted to make that clear, and just to provide an update too for listeners locally. In Milwaukee, for example, the Milwaukee Police Department no longer categorizes any missing kids as runaways. They do categorize some as habitually missing if they go missing, you know, multiple times over a time period. But as far as, you know, why so many are still missing, I do think it's important to remember that most folks who are reported missing do return home, or there is an answer as to what happened to them. But for the percentage that don't, that is devastating for families. And those are cases and people and families we cannot forget about.
Ashley, in your reporting, and as you follow this, you know, since the runaway label has gone away to some respect, have you seen any shifts, any noticeable differences?
I can tell you that in our newsroom and in newsrooms across the country, there's a real emphasis on talking to families. And this is across all public safety coverage, you know, not relying on law enforcement as the primary or sole source of information. You know, there have been academic studies that have pointed out, again, as Natalie said, you know, some of the reasons for this media coverage disparity, you know, theories being, you know, the lack of racial diversity in newsrooms and media ownership. Another theory being, you know, socioeconomic status of some of these victims, you know, do they not have the resources to help, you know, devote to a publicity campaign? But then again, also this issue of media relying too much on law enforcement to kind of serve as the gatekeeper as to which cases get attention, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in Milwaukee, for example, in the city of Milwaukee, looking at a data set from, you know, 2017 through the end of 2021, there were more than 14,300 missing persons cases filed in Milwaukee. And I say cases because some of them are repeat individuals. You know, more than 10,000 of those cases involved children age 17 or younger. Mm-hmm. Most of them did return. But I think it's, you know, it's important to make sure that we're looking at the full picture, that we're listening to families, and when families need help, that we are listening and able to try to help them as best we can. And frankly, you know, over the years, locally here in Southeast Wisconsin, we've seen families turn to social media to great effect, to advocates in our community who have large social media platforms to find their loved ones.
We're going to look at that influence in a moment. I'm going to reintroduce you, Ashley Lutheran, reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Natalie Wilson, co-founder of the Black and Missing Foundation. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Natalie, I want to get some reaction to what Ashley is saying there. Not using law enforcement as a primary or sole source in the reporting, and what you think about, you know, with 14,300 cases, mostly children.
I agree. And, you know, we utilize a number of resources to confirm a case, because we receive cases from a number of platforms, whether it's the media, families, you know, so it's very important that we look at these cases carefully and ensure that they get the media coverage or the coverage that's needed, because time is of the essence with many of these cases. And it also, you know, puts pressure on law enforcement to add resources to the cases when there's that exposure. So we have to do all that we can to help these families who we are meeting at the worst points in their lives. And, you know, what we're realizing is as we're meeting with law enforcement, as well as with media outlets, we've had participated in conferences, and we're asking, you know, what is your policy? Like, how do you determine which case gets coverage, right? Mm-hmm. Or which case, how do you determine how to classify a case? And we're realizing that there is no policy in place for any of those institutions, meaning, you know, law enforcement or the media. So we're trying to change that, that narrative.
How do you give hope to families who reach out to you when the odds are stacked against them so much, whether it be through law enforcement or other types of means to get the word out about their missing loved one?
Well, we are advocates for families, and we work alongside them and hold their hands through this process so they do not give up. They can't give up. And, you know, we provide financial support. We use our expertise, whether it's media relations or, you know, with law enforcement, to help these families. And we've seen miracles happen. Right? So these families have to continue to fight and advocate for their missing loved ones, whether it's a vigil or birthday, or they have new information about the case. We have to continue to keep this, your missing loved one, in the forefront, and you cannot give up. You have to keep going, because if no one is fighting for your loved one, then who would? And you just have to keep fighting. You have to keep going.
Natalie Wilson leads the Black and Missing Foundation, raising awareness, providing resources and tools. Ashley Lutheran covers criminal justice and social issues for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Join in on the disparities, the tensions around Black and Missing, perceptions of who deserves coverage. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're reflecting on what happens when someone goes missing, why press coverage has long focused on young white women, and why a Black woman would generate a lot less coverage. Call in at 800-642-1234. Talk about the social inequalities, what can be done differently to raise awareness and address racial biases head on. We have journalist Ashley Lutheran, who is at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Natalie Wilson, co-founder and CEO of the Black and Missing Foundation. They stay with us. Ashley, you brought up social media, and I just want to go further there. How has social media helped or hindered the search for missing people?
I personally think it has helped. I think advocates like Natalie, advocates we have locally, have used social media to great effect, to raise awareness of cases, to put cases, frankly, on more traditional media radar that maybe we haven't seen because of that gatekeeping role I discussed earlier. But I wanted to highlight, I think we also live in a time where we have to pay attention to audience, right? And how these messages are being received and who is sharing and engaging with social media posts. And so my colleagues at USA Today and I took a look at social media posts from the Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And we looked at that specific organization's Facebook page because they are extremely consistent with how they post information about missing children. They always include a photo. They include very similar language. So it's not as though one post gets more engagement because it has a video instead of just no image or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so there's this idea that social media, you know, could and arguably should be an equalizer for finding missing kids and highlighting kids of all backgrounds. This analysis, though, of 375 videos from the center's Facebook page found that the average views on posts about white girls, it was more than 63,000 views. And for Black girls, it was 38,000. And this is an organization that has more than a million followers. They're actually posting more videos about missing Black children than other children. But even so, posts with kids of color receive significantly fewer views. And specifically, Black girls and boys received significantly fewer views. And so there's some discussion there about, you know, is it who's following the page? Is it about, you know, who's using Facebook, even though we see similar usage groups via surveys across racial demographics? And one other point that I wanted to raise, because Natalie mentioned this, the longer a child is missing, the average number of views on the center's videos drop as the time passes. And so she's absolutely right that it's so critical to get this information out early. But that just shows, again, even when there's a concerted effort from people putting out the information to make sure that it is representative, to try to make it unbiased or to interrogate such biases before putting it out on a platform, there's still an audience, right? And part of that is just because of the culture that and sort of the society that we're all sort of swimming in, and who's using things and what captures people's attentions and some of those things. And I know Natalie had reached out after that story, and I know my colleagues have spoken to her as well. So I didn't know if she had any thoughts on that.
Yes, findings. Natalie, go ahead.
Yes, and I agree with you, Ashley. You know, social media has been a godsend for us. We don't have to wait on the traditional news cycle. We can get that information out instantaneously. And with a wide audience. And it has been successful for us. We've been able to find and reunite quite a few children because of it. But what we're also realizing is that through social media, you know, because individuals are not personally affected by it, or they may not know that missing person, they've turned a blind eye to it. So they are not sharing, they're not helping these cases to go viral. But what we're trying to do is to let people know that this is a missing, valuable member of our society. So just because you don't know the person, share it. You know, we verify every single case before we put it on our clearinghouse or share it on social media. And so does the National Center. So please help us. We need the community to be engaged to help us find these missing individuals, especially our children. We know that within 24 to 48 hours of them being on the street, they're propositioned for sex, could be victims of sex trafficking. So we need to get them, if not home, but to a safe environment.
Natalie, have you found in the pandemic that social media has also become more challenging as you tackle this issue?
Well, I will say that during the pandemic, our caseload has increased. I want to say that it has doubled.
Wow.
As far as sex trafficking cases. Mm. We're spending a lot of time online, right? Through our chat, any device that has a chat feature. Well, guess what? The predators are doing the same thing. And they're reaching out to these kids that are most vulnerable and having discussions with them and luring them to meet with them and being victims of sex trafficking. So it's something that we're working on as well.
Natalie Wilson, their co-founder of the Black and Missing Foundation, Ashley Lutheran, a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, as we talk about missing people of color. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Ashley, the Amber Alert system, starting in 1996, has a long history, broadcasting about children abduction cases. Has the criteria for issuing an Amber Alert disfavored children of color?
I think it's important to take a step back. So here's the criteria in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has used the Amber Alert system since 2003. I think that's important to note because one of the most high profile cases in the state stems from Milwaukee, and that's the case of Alexis Patterson. She went missing in 2002 before we were using Amber Alerts. Her case is part of the reason why the state has them. And so the criteria are that the child must be 17 years or younger, they must be in danger of serious bodily harm or death, and the initiating agency must have enough descriptive information about the child or the person suspected of taking them or the vehicle they're in to believe that an immediate broadcast will help find the child. And so, you know, we have objective criteria right there, but we're part of systems that are made up of individuals, right? And mm-hmm. So I think often what comes down to and what families and law enforcement might differ on is perhaps the level of danger or that a child might be facing. And so I think that might be where some of the disparity is coming from. And I think Amber Alerts, even though people are very well familiar with them, it's important to remember that they are quite rarely used because of the criteria. Relatively speaking, you know, we were talking about some of those large numbers of missing persons cases. And just to point out, from 2003 through, you know, July of 2020, Wisconsin had issued 41 alerts. 18 of them were for Black children, 15 were for white children, and the other 8 were for children of other races and ethnicities. And then last year in 2021, there were 11. And a lot of those ended up being linked to domestic violence. And so you're seeing just a relatively small percentage of cases. And then when they do get those Amber Alerts, it is important because nationally, you know, most mm-hmm. Amber Alerts do result in a child being found within 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And it's also important to remember that, you know, more than 60% of Amber Alerts nationally do involve some sort of parental abduction. And so I think people have a lot of the public might have a lot of perceptions when they see that alert on their phone mm-hmm. about what's going on, a child likely thinking like a child's been kidnapped, something like that. And often these situations do involve, you know, could involve parents, could involve domestic violence. And so regardless, it's critical to take those seriously.
And pay attention to them. Natalie, we're really short on time. Last word here. How can people change, be more proactive? What can we do differently in our lives?
Well, Again, education is key. Talking to our children about the dangers of social media, and being careful what is being shared on the social media platforms. But most importantly, you know, all of us play a role in finding and bringing home our missing, and that includes the media, law enforcement, and the community. So if we all continue to work together, and when you see a post on social media, don't turn a blind eye to it and realize that these are missing mothers, fathers, children, valuable members of our community. And it could be you.
It could be you.
Someone to act.
Family. Yes. Thank you both for joining us. That was Natalie Wilson, co-founder of the Black and Missing Foundation. Ashley Lutheran, reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.